The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 9th of January, 2018. Obviously, everyone knows we talk about it. We stand up, we breathe through our nose, out through our mouth. I am a champion. I am a winner. This is all about success. As the great Jim Rohn used to say, success is something you attract by the person you become. And there's so many other things to this. And we, as I said, we get into it a little bit during the shows, but we're going to get into it more directly this year, obviously. And we are going to be putting out products like this because, as I've told everybody and with the other people involved, and there will be more coming in, my perspective is coming from a backyard gym at 21 below lately, all right? Training at 10 below in the snow the other day. It was minus 10 2 days ago, and I got to go out tomorrow. Now they're talking a heat wave here, 30 degrees. I don't really care, but I'm coming from a different mental perspective, and I'm not saying there's anything out there wrong with any of the top gurus with all of the inspirational talk and how to get yourself going, but I'm taking everything from the FBC Stone and Steel Yard, so my perspective is a little bit different on things. So when we say I am a winner, I am a champion, those are things that you should be saying the minute you get up in the morning, for at least for 5 minutes. Say it during the middle of the day for 5 minutes. And what I try to always do, no matter what, whatever I'm talking about to myself, do it to the point where you fall asleep. Initially, it will not be easy for you because our brains are working all over the place, which you've got to quiet down. You say those two lines to yourself till you fall asleep. I'm telling you right now, your life will shift so dramatically and so many great things will happen. You'll think that, what the hell happened right here? What am I doing? And it might even scare you, but don't let it scare you. Stay the course. We'll get more into this down the road. Also, too, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. You're going to see two big changes to the website. Winner's Circle now is called Winners and Champion, Inc., as in capital INC. I'll explain about that more. And obviously, I am talking about prosperity in a different way. And we are going to change or contribute name, obviously, more of a prosperity conscious page, where still we're going to ask for donations, but you're going to understand the power of receiving and giving. And you're going to see some of the stuff I've been working on. If it doesn't inspire you, I don't know what. But you know something? There's no such thing, at least here anymore, of giving something for nothing in return. That's just being what people do that admire each other's work and when you help one another. You're going to get to see that whole thing, and I guarantee it, you're going to appreciate and be very inspired about by that one paragraph I wrote. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our brother Gareth Denyer on here today. He'll be in with me momentarily. Just go out and look at all the shows we've done together. I got to tell you, Gareth and all the amazing people, past and present, we have on here. That's another thing I've been getting into, gratitude. Change your mind. I did that singular show, Gratitude for Attitude, and that was all about three people that have been so influential on me: the great Anthony DiTillo, John McKean, who now I'm doing power rack work, and of course the great Steve Jack, who, if I never saw that DVD, I highly doubt I would have lifted a stone. I don't know, but I gotta tell you, that DVD got me to Iceland twice, and we're going to go again. And before anybody says themselves, well, you've been saying that, business has to come first. Unfortunately, right now, we have to become mighty, mighty millionaires here but we won't have to wait that long before we go over. But if you do things like this, and I'm sure when I bring Gareth in, he can attest to this, you have to keep the doors open here. That's the way it is. All things are working out. That's all you think about. Tell yourself that. Also, too, get our newsletter at motivationmuscle.com. It's free. I will start doing newsletter articles or whatever I'm going to put in there at the time starting next week. And you can get an awful lot of free content there. We've got about 870 podcasts already. We celebrated 3 years the end of September. There's nobody out there doing what we're doing. Of course, I hear there's some better or they got a bigger audience. I could care less. We are number one. We, as Dr. Wong said last week, we are 2018. We are Manly Men's Movement. And men, never apologize for being a man or you're a fucking pussy. All right, I'm going to read an excerpt from our pal Steve Jeck, and then I'm going to bring Gareth in. This is from Milo, July 1994. It's a little bit longer than the one I've been doing. It's volume 2, number 2, but everyone's going to love this. It's two essays he wrote, but I'm going to read today The Choice. And I've heard him speak this. He spoke this on his DVD in going to Iceland. There's something about a stone, something intrinsically alluring. I've never been able to walk past a stone without trying to lift it or see how far I could throw it, or at least silently ponder such efforts if actually attempting them would seriously jeopardize others' perception of my stability. I do, by the way, realize that the more sound members of society have little difficulty driving past or transversing around such challenges. Pity. I see the stone as a challenge, obvious enough. Yet I view it in a different light than even the barbell. The barbell is designed to be lifted. The diameter of the bar, the knurled grip, the aerodynamic design of the plates, and all these features lend themselves to one ultimate purpose, to be lifted. Certainly when one throws enough 25-kilo plates on a bar, all this design crap flies right out the window. And I still feel as if I've accomplished something just deadlifting the type of poundage that Mr. Taranenko rams overhead. No, I'm in no way saying that lifting barbells is easy. The distinction I make is that barbells are heavy while stones are defiant. To the prospective lifter, a stone seems to say, I love this, I'm not here to be lifted. You have gyms and such to satisfy that need. Now, if you still care to proceed, then be ready to pay. What's more, should you be blessed enough to triumph over the stone, the only adulation you're likely to receive will come from the local squirrels and millipedes, for most big stones are still resting obscurely in nature right where God put them. Ultimately, a man is challenged and bettered by facing any task that exceeds his current abilities. Some choose big stones. Others drive past or transverse around such challenges. Pity. Now, before I bring Gareth in, it's only going to be momentarily. Stevie Shanks was on yesterday and the show's up, and we talked about that. And this is really going to flow into what Gareth and I are going to do, because we're going to be all over as usual, but it's all going to come around to what I just read. And we're going to get into the gift of weakness. We're going to talk about, if you watched the Alabama game last night, we're going to get into some halftime adjustments. But it's going to focus, a lot of these are metaphorically speaking. Let me just say that. And then, of course, we're going to talk about these helicopter parents. So, Gareth, it's an honor. Happy New Year to you and your family, and welcome back, brother.
Happy New Year, Eric. Man, I'm so excited to be back on Motivation and Muscle. I always call it my one-month therapy session, where I get to vent a little bit, and then you and I get to discuss all of these interesting things that are taking place in today's world.
Absolutely. Now, give out your website, anything that's going on I missed, and we'll just get started.
I'll keep it simple. It's just www.hcpbarbell.com. You just look up my name. I'm on all forms of social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. However you want to get in touch with me, just let me know. I'm always here to help.
Beautiful. Well, we'll start out, and we're going to circle the wagon and link everything together. But I thought of you when I, you know, you and I always come up with, you know, there's, oh, look, the content on these shows are just awesome. And, you know, you and I always meld very well with things like that. And as you said, you'd heard the show I just did with Dr. Wong, who will be on here Thursday, and I've got a big surprise for him. So if you thought he was blowing a light switch the other day, this ought to be even better. And when I'm, like, on the queue, like, that's if I lift that day, usually the aggression is right to the top of my forehead instead of the middle of my eyeballs. But the gift of weakness, and I mean this metaphorically, but it is truly out there all over. And we see more and more of this, obviously, and it's more and more readily accepted. And, you know, it's not every kid out there, because when I get a link from Donnie G. Fardino of a 7-year-old named Sawyer who's lifting basically, it looks like an Atlas stone, it just makes my heart sing. Same with Charlie Oliphant's son, Lawrence. The kid, he's an awesome kid, and he is just a blast, and he was so good on the show. And they're, though, to me, the exception of the rule, because the world now loves to celebrate being weak, not using your strength, not going out anymore. You know, stay in, tweet all day, stay on your laptop, play your stupid little social games. And, of course, if you heard our show with Dr. Wong the other day, not only did we get into the Google stuff what women are doing, but this stuff with this artificial intelligence, don't ask girls out. You can do this artificially. You can have sex artificially and nobody gets hurt. So you can stay in your house. And then, of course, the robotic stuff now, where there was women that were making comments. I'm not going to say the word because I know there's younger kids listening. I already blew a few words. Now I can F this man here and not have to deal with him anymore. I'll tell you right now, when we already talked about with Steve Cotter on this with humanity, how humanity is just getting crushed. And I don't think people give any thought to it because you're so goddamn robotic now that, hey, I got my phone. How many people go anywhere? They got their face in a damn phone, or they got it in their hand. They can't get rid of it. And now it's gone down to the kids so much now. Who's managing the kids? Nobody. The phone is. The internet is. The parents all want to wear, you know, their daughter's jeans where they're halfway down their ass and they think they look great at 45. The husbands, majority of them, big fat belly on them, walking around complaining they got a damn phone. They're neutered pretty much. And you know what? They don't care because they've been told that being weak is okay. It's acceptable. Now, I'm going to give this to Gareth momentarily, but, and I want to clarify this. Not everyone is like this, okay? And we know that. But to sell this whole institutionalized form of weakness, and we know what's best for you, this is what most people are doing these days. And this is one of the reasons when I talk about going out in 21 below in training and talking about next year, maybe even this year, renting a log cabin, whether it's in Wyoming, who knows? It could be parts of Colorado, Montana, might be up in British Columbia. It's beautiful there. Or going to Iceland and just doing primarily on my own for 1 year, still doing the work, the job, not being shut off from the world. I don't feel that's healthy. But close enough where I can go to a town, do my shopping, mingle with people, but yet go and train and just train and think and write and do all these things, because I'm telling you right now, folks, right now we need a hardening of the soul and the mind, but we need to open ourselves up to taking all of that structure and power, and we need now to give back, to spread it, because right now I feel in history, and we've gone through a lot of this all through time, but right now it's more prevalent than ever. I know that was long, brother. Take it away.
Well, Eric, I'm going to intro this podcast with a little story that took place a few months ago, actually.
Okay.
I train a lot of athletes here locally, and I'm known for training football players. And I went to the first game of the season, and the team played hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not here to ridicule anyone, especially because they're teenagers, but I made a comment on a certain group of guys who I know very well, because this is a tight-knit community. I know a lot about the kids. At one point in time, I've trained them or I've interacted with them, or I hear a lot about them through other players that I train. And I made a comment on Facebook about their performance, and it was lackluster. And they pretty much allowed almost 10 sacks, which is just, you know, anyone who knows the game of football, that's just craziness. But believe it or not, actually, they were in the game, I mean, despite the 10 sacks. And because of that, though, because of that comment in regards to the offensive line of this local team, I had a barrage of comments coming from others, pretty much saying, I am the devil himself. And because of that, it was funny because I just posted that comment and I never reacted to it because I didn't want to start an argument and I really didn't think anyone was going to pay attention to it. Well, what happened was is that, you know, these mothers came in to, you know, to say how terrible I am and how I'm not, you know, I'm not a good person. And then I had the boys that I've trained in the past and the parents that I've trained, they all came in and pretty much supported everything I was saying.
Right.
And it just made me throughout these past months think about these helicopter parents.
Yep.
And that was the main piece of conversation that I wanted to talk about today. So we can address some of these things and understand that, you know what, it's okay to get criticized sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a bad thing.
Nope.
It's not a bad thing. I know that in today's society, it's looked down upon because if you say anything that has even a just a teensy bit of negativity to it,
right?
You're wrong. You're making someone stressed out. You're not, you know, you're taking away from their safe space.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to address this because I really think that because of the millennials and their helicopter style parenting, it's causing a lot more problems. And then what they're seeing now is, because all you have to do is look at the studies, these college students who've been raised by these helicopter parents, they're having major problems dealing with reality, with life itself, because these parents, these helicopter parents, have made every decision and protected their children the whole time of their existence.
Without a doubt. And I've got three things to say to you. Number one, the helicopter, these millennials, there's a very high suicide rate in them. Okay, because look, if you've been told everything that you do is great, if you have to have somebody put your underwear on for you, you're in big trouble. All right, and when you hit the early 20s, I mean, you've probably had trouble all along, but there's, you know, contrary to what the media tells you, the world is not a friendly place anymore, and maybe it never was, but I think people are very, very mean and nasty now more than ever. Number two, as I think I've told you, my brother-in-law Dan is a high school football coach for a pretty big suburban school here. I can't even go to the games anymore, and I'll tell you why. I had an argument one night on the bleachers with one of the mothers because the quarterback, he wouldn't buckle it. His helmet got knocked off three times. He got hit so friggin' hard. And I was like, what the hell's up with this kid? And she's like, don't you talk to my son that way. You know what I told her? I said like this. I said, shut up. Her husband was standing right there. I was like, you come up here. I'm saying to myself, I'm going to rip your face right off you. I mean it too. Just, and rude. Rude to everybody. Number two. Number three, I'll tell you why I think they attacked you. One of the reasons, and we get into this all the time with Dr. William Wong, white male, and I don't care if anybody's got a problem with that. We'll leave it to male, all right? These are women that want to break the rest of your stones right out of you. And these are people that have never even played a down of anything, let alone they've probably never even kicked a ball, all right? And they're trying to tell you how to act, and you're mean and all this shit. They don't have a clue. But this is once again more, and I understand, why bother with them? I got you. But sometimes, in my opinion, you need to trample these people. And they need, because they have nothing. I've gotten this shit with people before. If you've been listening a while back, and normally I don't really engage with people because I don't have the disposition a lot of times if you yell at me or say something to me, because if I say something to you, I will back up what I believe, all right? I don't just throw, you know, cement at the wall and hope it sticks. I was in a, I don't even like advertising for these phonies, Whole Foods. And I just got, I had a massive workout that night. And I'll go right to you. But I'm sure you and everybody else, I was still carrying around that, I don't know, that aggressiveness that, you know, I slept good, but I still was on that high. And I was in line because I don't like that place, but it's the only place there's one particular whole milk yogurt I like that you can't get anywhere else. So every once a month I stop there and get like half a dozen of them. So I'm in line. And I've got one of those little carts with the two handles on them. And I tossed it, and it didn't go in completely to the other cart, to you know, on the floor by the register. So all of a sudden, I hear a nice shot. And I'm like, what? And this guy says, nice shot. Now, he's in camo, and I know he's no soldier. If he was, he probably was 40 years ago. You know, the typical bald head with the ponytail, but a real smart-ass guy. And I said to him, what'd you say? Now, in the meantime, I got my right hand cocked because I figure if he's going to do anything, I'm coming over the top, man. You know, and I'm going to throw everything I got into that right hand. And the girl at the register is looking, and he goes, when he said, well, I said, nice shot. I said, well, that's why you're here. He's like, what? I said, you're my nanny. Take care of it, nanny boy. And he stood there, and I saw, and I said, you take one step. Don't do that. He just backed up. The girl said, you know, sir, if you say any more, we're going to call the police. I said, you can do whatever the fuck you want to do. She checked, and I was surprised. She checked me out. I walked out and left, and I was like, you know what? I'm to the point now where I'm just tired of people thinking that they can take liberties and say whatever they want to you because they watch movies and TV and think, you know, you get hit with a forearm shiver and you get back up. You don't you don't get back up, my friend, usually. I've seen enough fights that you ain't getting up, all right? So maybe I saved that asshole's life. I don't know. But I'll tell you right now, that would have been a day he would have met with disaster, and I would have too, because then I would have gotten a lot of trouble. But even a guy like me who just likes to kind of stay below the radar, which is hard to do, I don't want problems with people. I want to go do my thing. You know, I can. But on the flip side, I can tell you how many people I've met I've never met before. We strike up great conversations. We might talk about lifting, and they'll ask what you do. And we talk about the radio and all that stuff, and they tell me a little bit about them. You walk away like, you know what? There is some humanity that gives a shit and is decent. And that's why when I say all these things, you know, with the, we talk about the helicopter pilots and, well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What are they going to think about me? Where am I going to get? You know what you got to do? You got to just pull it together and go out there and make the mistakes you make, make your corrections, take the appropriate action, and just keep heading forward, moving, moving, moving. Because if you don't, you're going to think way too much. You'll convince yourself you can't do it. And as they say, if you don't use your body, you rust. It's all yours, brother.
Well, I have a sign. I got my gym logo. And then along with it, I've got this saying. And it really applies today. And the saying goes this. It's at the borders of pain and suffering that the men are separated from the boys.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I wish I would have done it in a different color so it really stood out and popped out because, you know, that saying, if you really think about it, you know, think about back to the Greatest Generation.
Sure.
Okay. They had a world war and the Great Depression that forced the boys to become men.
Yep.
So the question is, as a parent, okay, how do I make my son into a man without disaster? Well, I'll tell you the first step is just like you said, you just have to sit back and sometimes watch them fail as much as it hurts.
Yep.
And I know as parents, we're here to protect, you know, we're there for their safety. We're there for their well-being. That's one of the biggest steps that someone has to do as a parent, especially in today's society, because you just have to let it happen. It's just one of those things. every boy, I think, in my opinion, and people might think I'm crazy for this, but, you know, I really think everyone should know what it feels like to get punched in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I, and as crazy as, I mean, I don't, of course, I don't want my sons to be hurt, but it's just one of those things, because along with that, pain and suffering, it also teaches you humility, and it also teaches you to be kind to others, because you know how it feels.
Sure.
You don't want that anyone to happen to you. Obviously, you know, it's one of those things where you, it teaches you a lot. It brings people down to earth. It makes them see the world how for it really is, and actually being kind. It's with the that's another thing too. You know, another word that it's very negative is being aggressive.
Yeah,
actually,
I know.
Being aggressive actually, if anything, used correctly, is an outlet.
Yeah.
To bring balance to a boy's personality, because if he's never allowed to be aggressive, what do you think is going to happen?
It's like putting
a monkey in a cage.
Yeah, but he'll get his face kicked in on a regular basis, and not only that, this is, you know, my mom was a nurse for years, especially in the schools. You get what they call are all these AD this and AD that. You know what it is? It's young boys being boys, so they load them up full of Ritalin, and the next thing you know, they're blowing a building up. Look. And I'll get it right back. Something that has to be with everyone. And we know the reason why a lot of that is frowned upon, obviously, is because we don't have the outlets like we had before. And I'll tell you another thing. One of the things I think kids should still be doing is they need to be really doing labor. And if you don't have laborious work, it's going to be very hard for you to do things and get ahead in the world. And you need to have things that are not only going to test you manually, but mentally. So that's one of the things. Go ahead, man. Take it.
Well, you have to, like I said, you have to sit back, watch your kids fail sometimes, let them make their own decisions, don't hover around them. It's right. Just one of those things. I think where the millennials have gotten to the point where, you know, any type of setback is considered a failure. And it's so funny, Eric, because all the topics that we discuss, you know, it all comes back full circle. I mean, let's just bring it back to the election.
Sure.
And how these kids were acting on the college campus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because their president wasn't elected. They needed to have a day off of school. They needed to be exempt from finals. They needed to be able to, like, pet some type of, you know, an animal.
Dead animals, yep.
I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, is this the type of world that we live in now? Like, these are going to be our adults in the near future?
Yeah, well, I got news for you. The rest of the world is watching, and if they buy into that whole theory, they'll be enslaved somewhere before you know it, because all the warriors will be dead and gone, and it'll be them. And, you know, but it's a different thing. A lot of people believe in different things now without getting political. Most people don't want borders anymore. They don't care. They don't want a lot of law anymore. They want to smoke dope at every corner. Look, there's going to always be a segment of the population that's going to always be that way. And what they've done and framed it through the media for 50 years is they are the ones that are the majority, when we know if they're lucky, they're 1-2% of the minority. This is why you're seeing so many things exploding everywhere around you, because, you know, the older ones, you know, that hatch these millennials, and the ones that are the grandparents of the parents of the millennials, they're all snapping out of their mind because they can't believe what they're seeing now, where people want to make money, where people don't want government intervention and everything. And it's just a big, long cycle. And the thing is, folks, you can't get caught up in this stuff, because I'm telling you right now, this is the distractions that whatever the powers that be want. What you need to do is to concentrate on yourselves, your family, and what you want to get out of life, because I don't care what they tell you out there. In the end, it's you. And you can believe anything you want to believe. That's up to you. But I still think the best way to do things are, number one, first and foremost, health. I don't care if you're married, if you have kids, if you have 15 houses, whatever. What will happen if you no longer have your health or you perish? All right. The bottom line is there's not enough emphasis put on taking care of yourself, because the first thing you'll hear out of some know-it-all's mouth is, oh, you're selfish. No, I'm being selfish because I want to be around, because I want to take care of my family. I want to watch my kids graduate and marry if they want and succeed at whatever they want to do. That's where the big disconnect is everywhere, because they've listened to so many quote-unquote experts, and these experts, when you find out, you see all the stuff that's going on with these experts, I guess they weren't as squeaky clean as you thought they were, and now you're just watching people that believed in this stuff. They are unraveling by the dozens, man, thousands. So when Gareth is talking about, you know, we got to protest, or we got to have safe spaces, or we got to have puppies, or, you know, we got to have puzzles, please. You know, this is the problem. This is what's been sold. The human spirit is so damn tough and can do so much, and I still believe in that. Look, it's going to go one way or the other. These people are going to change and learn how to become just good, strong people. Do you have to go lift a 400-pound stone? No, you don't. But you know what? You better be able to lift your child off the ground to hold, and you better be able to lift two bags of groceries at once. Because if you can't, then you might have a big problem. And the idea of promoting weakness, we know what this is all about. The weaker you keep people and the more you keep them down, the less chance you've got of anybody discovering the fraud you've been perpetrating for years. So I'll give it right to you. As I say, you know, think about this. You got a big challenge, okay? You're faced with something huge. Why are you focusing on what you can't be? Why don't you focus on what you can be? You know, it's, you just keep pushing this, man, and don't take no from people, and don't tell yourself, no, I can't do it. You have to do a thing I call, you have to create a tunnel vision for yourself. Tunnel vision means all you do is look straight forward, not to your left, not to your right. And people that are saying things that, you know, are no good for you, this is what we were talking about in the beginning, and we'll talk about with making adjustments. This is why you go out and listen to Eminem, and you go out and listen to influential speakers, and you read things. One of the best things I've ever done is I can read something or listen to something, and I'll just sit there and say, write a paragraph of what I just listened to. It won't even sound like anything I just listened to. And you know what that just did? That created a creative force in my mind, in my subconscious mind, where now it will go and keep playing that over and over. That's why I said, I am a winner, I am a champion. Would you not like that dancing around in your head all day rather than, I don't know, I don't feel good today, oh, I am weak? If you want that, be my guest. But don't be these victimhood people that are going to come and say, Eric, you're a multi-million-dollar company now. You need to give 80% of your business to us. You know what I'll do like everybody else? I'll put it all together and move it offshore. I've never been a guy that said no to helping anybody, but you are not going to do that to me, believe me. It's all yours, brother.
You know, our job as a parent is very temporary. And I think a lot of people have lost sight of that. You know, we will not be around. You know, we're not going to outlive our children typically.
No.
It's just a temporary job. And what we're really trying to do is for them to develop the skills so they can fend for themselves. That's, I think for whatever the reason, I think because of the Gen X and the baby boomers, I think they got so, they're so caught up in, and I guess I don't even know how to explain it. I guess into their own mindset, to where they've really lost sight as far as teaching the child to be an individual. Find out what motivates them. It, you know, in this day and age, not everyone has to go to college.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be great to get a high level of education, mind you. But at the same time, though, if you're making all the decisions as far as the pursuits of their interests, shouldn't that be a sign?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be kind of a, you know, a red flag to make you think about how you're raising your children? Of course, everyone needs a solid background in education, especially in high school level, which will prepare them later on in life. But at the same time, though, you know, if the kid is putting forth effort and getting a B, in my opinion, I don't think a parent should really complain about that.
No. And you know what? Like us, what's wrong with going out and being an entrepreneur? What's wrong with going out, right? What's wrong with going out and using your creative mind to go out and do something you fully want to do? Because we all know if you went to probably 98% of the people working and asked them if they liked their job, they'd say, I hate it. Now, I understand because I've been going through this with people for 4 years, especially being an entrepreneur. You know, they'll say to me, well, you know, at least I'm getting a steady paycheck and I'll get retirement. I got news for you. By the time I retire, or probably half of them, there isn't going to be any money in your bank account to live the next, say, 25 years. Or your health insurance, well, look at just about every company that was big at one time. Either they're merging or they end up cutting your benefits in half. Because really, let's face it, nobody owes you health insurance. I mean, that used to be a hell of a nice perk with companies. But a lot of these people are looking to get lean, mean, and cut back. Now, if you look at the statistics right now in the stock market and the way we're starting to produce jobs again here, and they are bringing more and more jobs back to our shores, I got to tell you, I would love to see NAFTA and GATT go right down the tubes. Because that robbed us of about 100 million manufacturing jobs. And people will tell us, well, they were leaning down anyway. So what's the difference is, folks, here's the big difference. People lost their jobs and they had to take jobs that might have cut their salaries in half. And then they'll say, well, they were overpaid. Well, how the hell do you know that? All right. And I'm telling you right now, these things have to be dispelled. Someone has to go out there and explain, you know, why, and I mean this, why are we comfortable with being second? I never want to be second place, never. Because I think naturally, men and women have a natural drive to always want to win. I know there's different temperaments. Some people it's not as important to. I got it. But you put somebody in a situation, here's a great situation for you. Put the most docile animal and corner it and see what happens. You won't even know it's the same animal, okay? Because what is in all of us that's inherent? We all want to survive. We all want to thrive. It's the same way. Stop teaching these kids to be weak. Start being an example to be strong. And there's all kinds of facets of strength. And I'm going to go right to you, brother. But as I said that live video I did out in the FBC yard about a month ago, you have a strength resolve, I call that, in the middle. And you have tentacles going all over the place that I drew up. And you're not going to get anything better than going out and training, other than doing manual labor. But I think a lot of training is very manual labor too. Picking up, putting down, loading this, loading that. That's another show. But what I'm saying is you must do things like that. Because I think eventually, and I don't know this for sure with all these kids, and I hope for the other it comes back 360 and they say, you know what? I'm 20 years old, but I know that I need to get physical. I need to strengthen my resolve. I need to become mentally, spiritually, and physically sound. And they live a nice, strong life. And I hope that the majority of them go out and push it. Because, see, a strong society can't be defeated. You know, you might have casualties along the way, but if you have a group of people, and I'm talking in the tens of thousands, we can change the world. I know people will be like, you can. Yeah, you can. One person's voice can start the avalanche rolling. I believe that's why we do what we do here, and I believe, and I know from people what it's done to them, how it's changed their life. So, the weakness, the parents. I don't know if we'll ever change the parents. It doesn't matter to me at this point. If we can get to the kids, especially the kids coming up, you would be surprised. They can change the parents. I'm telling you. Go ahead, brother.
It's funny you mentioned that, Eric, because I have a hand. full of boys that I do train. They're still in high school, and, you know, I'm close to them. But you know, the group of kids I'm really focusing on now are my 10, 11, and 12-year-olds.
There you go.
Not only do they work out, but they all box. Yep. And it's just one of those things they're required to do so. And I ease them into it. I don't make them spar for a while till they get some of the techniques down. But those are the group of boys that I've seen, and it's crazy how quickly they learn. And you could see the confidence in them. And they don't even view the fight as anything. Say when they do spar, it's not an issue for them. They don't look at it as like, hey, you know, this guy's going to punch me in the mouth, and I'm gonna, you know, I can't breathe because I'm moving around and I'm holding my breath. These kids, it all comes natural. And the parents are in alignment with me. They understand completely the importance of being physical, of being tough, to learning these skills that boxing teaches. And then we incorporate that too with the lifting.
Yeah.
And I tell you right now, what I see these, man, it is just awesome. It's such a great thing.
Yep.
And then I think in my mind to myself, what are these boys going to be like in 5 years? I tell everyone here locally, watch out for these boys.
Yeah. Well,
it's going to be hellstorm because these boys, they're not going to take shit from anyone. I'm not saying they're going to go around bullying anyone. Actually, they're going to do the opposite. If they
exactly.
see anyone, they're going to pop in the mouth.
Yep.
But I tell everyone locally, get ready because my 11-year-olds and my 12-year-olds 5 years from now, they're going to make a statement.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that I could say, and I can't say that for your men there, but I see my nieces and nephews like in that age bracket, and what I think is the constant with them is they have not been beaten down into the ground mentally yet or tried to. And kids at that age, just watch them. I watch like my 7-year-old nephew Danny and my 9-year-old Maggie. These kids, when they're going to go after something, they just go after it. Unless, you know, my sister and brother-in-law are going to stop them, obviously, if they plan on jumping off a garage roof, which they're not going to do anyways. But what I'm saying is they're not afraid. And this is what you're dealing with, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, like Danny. You know, I think I told you on the last show I got both of them lifting sandbags now. You know, an 8 and 11 or 8 and 13, whatever it is, but they are awesome with it. And Danny is such a builder. He's got this aptitude. I mean, I see him with not only Legos, just things he'll put together with popsicle stick. Anything that he can build with something, he'll do. And, you know, the thing that's really intriguing about it is, you know, my brother-in-law Dan built him a little workshop downstairs where they go. But he'll come over to me with a pen and a paper. You'll see him draw up the stuff he's going to build. And he's so damn serious. I'm trying not to laugh a little bit. But I'm like, this to me is not only good parenting for sure, but they have that ability. And I think that's what you're seeing now because they go after things they love to do. And yes, these, you know, whether like my nieces and nephews stay with what they do for the rest of their life, I hope they do. But if they don't, the life lessons they're getting now is going to take them into a very sound life, and the leadership that's around them, and especially with the girls, the men around them, because I'm telling you right now, you know, I'm not perfect. I know that. But I want them to go out with men especially and make good choices. They don't have to go out with weightlifters. That's not my point. But they go out with men of character, and they go out with men that they know if someone fucked with them, they'd get murdered. They'd get tracked down like a friggin' animal and murdered. All right? So that's what I feel is very, very important. And then when you have a kid like that walk into your gym, you're like, holy cow, where the hell you been for the last 3 years? So go ahead, Gareth. I mean, it's you know, they can say what they want about whatever, but really, who's talking to you, your environment, what you see. I think, especially daughters, fathers, man. I mean, you know, I don't think a lot of guys get it. You want your girls to do the right thing. We can never be 100%. We know that they make mistakes. But man, oh man, I just want the best for those girls and Danny too, and my other nephew Galen. I want to see them just prosper, 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 and they are. So take it away, my friend.
You know, it's funny, Eric. I'll be doing things here, and you know, I'm in Houston, Texas, and then I'll listen to your podcast, and you're up in New York.
Yep.
And it always makes you laugh how some of the same things coincide with each other. I remember because you were talking about, you know, the younger boys lifting stones.
Yeah.
And then I've been telling everyone how I've been implementing boxing with the younger kids that I train and really trying to build that client base up. And
sure.
I just can't help but laugh. And I think, you know, great minds, there's that saying, you know, great minds think alike. And it really applies to this.
Thanks.
And I just want to add one more thing to this.
Yeah.
Is that, and we talked about this in previous podcasts. We live in a fear-based society,
yeah.
Which also perpetuates the helicopter parents. Everyone thinks there's, you know, some guy around the corner or, you know, there's some disaster waiting for them. It, you know, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're going to get rid of your phone, you know, because of all the things that are trapped or involved with it.
Yep.
The negativity that comes from it. Same thing here. You know, there has to be that separation of, like, you know, of reality and fear.
Yep.
And they're really far apart if you really stop and think about it. The things that we fear all the time usually do not happen.
Exactly.
And parents really need to come to terms with that, not just with themselves, but also for their kids, because those fears right there themselves are also damaging their children.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, it's real interesting because you're right, fear-based society. I mean, I know just with the weather here in the last 2 weeks, yeah, it's been dangerous. People have died from the cold. I got it. But you have to learn, too, to do whatever you have to do, dress, go wherever you got to go, make sure that you do have a way to get a hold of somebody should something happen, et cetera, et cetera. But human beings are very tough individuals, and I don't think that contaminating them with everything you've been hearing for the last 25 years is justice to anything they want to accomplish. I mean, you know, and I still watch it. I love superheroes. I don't like a lot of the stuff they do now, but I'm talking older stuff, you know, my position on the Hulk, the whole thing. And I grew up in a little bit different style home, you know. I mean, Jimmy was the example to me of everything. I mean, he's right across from me right now, him and the Hulk together. I had to grow up we were very lucky the home we had, but there was a lot going on here all the time. I mean, it was always tons of kids, obviously, but, you know, my parents, I'm sure daily, you know, they had a lot of struggle to deal with, and they never let out. I never seen them explode on each other about my brother, any of that. They took him to school back and forth, the whole thing. We had Jimmy with us everywhere. So a lot of times when people say this, that, and the other thing, I just shake my head, you know, and I've had people say to me, well, you're a very cold individual about things like this. I said, not cold at all, but been through a hell of a lot more than that, and I survived it, and other people have. And I understand everybody likes to carry a torch, but, you know, I think silently you do things, you silently, you know, people look to you with your example. I can remember guys in my neighborhood, weightlifters, okay, be walking around, you know, at first you're a little afraid of them, but then, you know, you go up and talk to them. There's just something about walking strong, like Dr. Ken says. There's examples all around you. Why feed off the channel that just says to you constantly, you know, we got in this with Bill Crawford a couple weeks ago. Why not? Why can't you do it? Why is the why not? Or you shouldn't. Well, why shouldn't I? You know, every time you say something like that to me, I can get back with it. But, you know, it's like everything, Gareth. It's like if you get, you know, as Rocky said in Rocky Balboa, you know, basically, you'll get beat to your knees and never get back up if you let life do that to you. And there's an awful lot of truth to that because I understand a lot of this more than most people understand. You get hit enough, just some people can't rise to it after a while. Some people can only take two hits and they're all done. But isn't that a shame to give up on yourself that quick? And believe the nonsense that well, you know, you should have been making this by now, or you're not getting anything for that, or you're not feeding on this, or, you know, you're not getting here and there when you say you want to. Well, you know what? Tough. Life doesn't always work out exactly how you want it to right away. But the ones that survive it and make it are the ones, like I just said, they don't take no for an answer. They go to that island and burn those boats and draw the line in the sand. I'm going to kill it or it's going to kill me. I've said that and I've had people say, oh my God, don't say that. Well, why? Why? That's who I've shaken hands with. You know what? If it ends tomorrow, I've done, well, maybe not everything, but I can leave here with a smile on my face and know next time I'm coming back as a school bus size, I don't know, 3,000-4,000-pound great white shark living in Australia. So look me up if you want. Go ahead and take it.
Well, you know, helicopter parents, I could sum all this up in a few sentences.
Sure.
You know, they are those type of parents who want their children to escape consequences. Okay, from everything from academics, relationships, finances, they control it. But what they don't understand is that micromanaging your kids, it's short-term success, long-term disaster.
Yep. Yep. What else you got? You got something else you want to hit, or
you know, just a couple things because yeah. We talked about Saban winning a national championship.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
And I loved it because, unfortunately, okay, I was watching it first half, fell asleep, and then I had to watch the highlights of it. But I couldn't help but be so impressed with Saban because, you know, here's a guy, you know, he's obviously been so successful over these years. You know, he's down 13-0. Georgia's on fire.
Yep.
And the guy comes back, makes the necessary adjustments, puts in a true freshman quarterback who's hardly played all season, and wins the national title again.
You know what it is, though, Gareth, too? Whether we know or not, and yet he put that freshman quarterback in, there's a lot of magic in belief and will, and who knows what he said to that kid. And who knows what he said to those players. And that's what I say to people. You can turn that 360 around the other way and the right way to go. Hey, look, I was talking about Danny and Maggie. My niece's name is Madeline, but we call her Maggie. She's a peanut, okay? I've never seen a kid so strong. She beats every guy and girl in any type of distant races in school. You ought to see her do a handstand push-ups. It'd blow your mind. She can fall into a wrestler's bridge like nobody I've ever seen and just do one after another. She dances. I mean, she's the smallest kid on the whole thing. I call her a spider. She moves like a spider. And I put it up maybe a month ago, maybe a little longer. She was up with Dan at the gym at school, and they had farmer walk handles loaded. She deadlifted 110 pounds. If she weighs 60 pounds soaking wet, that would be a miracle. And it wasn't a 2-inch off the ground. She pulled it off the ground and stood with it. So, you know, don't tell me that kids can't do amazing things. And the parents, I don't know, you know, when you've been raised like that, when all you do is think everybody's a bully, when everybody is, you know, doesn't need to be strong, men don't need to be strong. Yeah, be fat, fellas. And like we said on Dr. Juan, on the show I did with him, women right now, the majority of them are out there Googling, is my husband gay? Now, I don't know where they would get that from, but I can give you a couple examples, like I said on the show. Number one, estrogen and not doing anything, and when you got two spare tires and you can't really bring anything up in the air, chances are you might not be too interested in sex anymore. Secondly, if your wife's fat and hairy, I don't want you either. Too bad. Too bad. All right? I'll give it to you and summarize anything you want, but I'll tell you what, guys, I said before, never be ashamed to be a man, and here's another thing I want to tell men. It's not always your fault. And that's the way everything is played now. You've seen all the crap in Hollywood and the media and all that. I got news for you. We could go into a show just about that, all right, and really piss some people off. But I'll tell you this right now. I am sick and tired of seeing men get it on the chin, accept it, and go with it. If you've done something wrong, by God, pay the consequences. But don't walk around and let people kick you in the nuts every day of the week and tell you it's all right. This is what's happened. This is why your sons are walking around with their sister's pants on. All right? This is what's going on. So, you know, when we talk about, oh, it's a gift to be weak. Oh, helicopter parent, don't you yell at my son. Oh, and when you tackle him, don't tackle him so hard, all right? Bullshit, man. Be like Saban did. Make your adjustments. Be like what we do here, what Gareth does. You know something's not right? Well, you might hit a wall 10 times, but on the 11th time, you just won. All right? Get out. Get uncomfortable. Enjoy your life more than anything. Do make some goals that you want to do. Be successful with them. Do small things. You never know where this is going to lead to. As I said before, we've talked about this recently too. You know, Iron Stan and I said the same thing the other day. Who would ever think, man, my aunt and uncle and my cousin gave me a set of leaky weights, all right, a barbell with not a lot of weights. I think I had one dumbbell handle, and that leaked too. And I had a wooden bench that my Uncle Will built that was a master carpenter, which, like I said, you could have probably drove something over it. It wouldn't have broken. But it was like laying on a slab of concrete. Fine. But as I said with this, who would ever think then I'd be going to Iceland and lifting rocks? Who would ever think I'd be doing all this insane dead start work in Iraq? Don't ever think that great things can't happen to you. And whatever you deem very, very important to you, don't let anybody take you off those steel rails. Because if you stay on them, you're going to get the end result, and that's going to be success. Gareth, add anything you like. Give out all your information. I'll give mine. And please hang on the line if you would.
Sure. One more thing, and this coincides with you. What you just said, Eric.
Yeah.
For those men out there who are having problems, you know, keep searching. You know, that everyone, there's solutions to the problems. There's no cookie cutter format to any of this. You know, everything from hypnotherapy to a different type of training to a new friend group. Just understand the answers are out there. Never give up. It's one of those things where, you know, life can get crazy, and I've seen this personally with getting flooded again and dealing with other circumstances.
Yep.
Man, when it gets crazy, it comes all at once. Just understand that the solutions are out there. You just have to keep going, man, and don't quit, whatever it is.
Hey,
keep pushing. There's going to be some suffering along the way. There's going to be some pain, but there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Hey, I told Gareth in the beginning, I'm not kidding you, and I know a lot of guys like me. Well, I was so fortunate to have the home I had and still have. But it was the weights that changed everything. And I'll tell you right now, I've gone through some great times and some horrendous times in the last 4 years. And no matter how much money I make, you still have problems no matter what you do with the business. If I didn't have lifting, I probably would have blew the back of my head out by now. I'm not kidding you, because you need to have something that is so important to you no matter what, you stick with it. And this is lifting among every other things. But I'll tell you right now, nothing gives me more joy than going out in 21 below with a mellow heat at 45 degrees and lifting my goddamn balls off and just loving it, man. And I don't know how many people can say that. And when you love something like that, you're going to love your girlfriend or your wife more, or you're going to love your kids more, or you're going to love your businesses even more. You know what? Go out and do it. Don't try it. Do what I said. Go out and do something you wanted to do, and let me know. I'd be glad to help you anyway, and I'm sure Gareth would too. We're business owners. We want more and more people in with us and doing the things we do. So go ahead, brother. Take it.
No, weightlifting is a salvation.
Yeah.
I personally seen here. I was a real stressed out kid, and my dad saw that in me, and he had me lifting at an early age.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, the desire was there anyhow, because it's what I was drawn to, because same here, Eric, I was, I love comic book heroes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting, you know, muscular when I was even 6 and 7.
Yeah.
So it can be your salvation. You know, it's one of those things where you've got to do some type of physical activity in your life. And maybe it might not be weightlifting, but it could be, you know, it's whether it be rock climbing, you know, that's, you know, it's a form of resistance.
Yeah.
It's something that you can really put your heart, your mind into and use it as an outlet. Use weightlifting or whatever activity to be your outlet, the healthy outlet, because it's real easy to turn to other outlets that are not so healthy. Why do you think the addiction rates are going through the roof?
Yep.
Because they're easy outlets. Yep. And it numbs everyone temporarily. But in reality, it makes the problems even worse.
You're not kidding. Give out all your information, brother, if you don't have anything else to add right now.
Sure. I'm Gareth Denyer, owner of HCP Barbell. You can reach me at gareth@hcpbarbell.com. I'm on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all forms of social media. I'm always here to help. Feel free to contact me. And Eric said the same thing.
Yep. It's a good thing, and you and I are both very, very lucky what we got, no matter what happens, and I realize that every day. A few things have happened with some people that I really admire, and one of them's hit me very hard, and I don't think the outcome's going to be very good for this person, and I can't say the person's name or anything because I was told not to. But when I got the word and I got some personal notes, I got to tell you, it felt like somebody blasted me through a wall, literally. So, you know, Jimmy and these other folks that are going through some awful, turbulent times. I mean, you know, Gareth has had another flood, which is, I can't imagine that. And here there's been a lot of things too, but you know, when you hear things like that, I sit down and I'm like, you know, I understand what's going on with me and everything. But you know what? Just like with Jimmy, I can get up out of bed, at least so far, every morning and put my feet on the ground. I know that's cliche, they'll tell me, but it's not cliche, folks. Live around that for 12, 13 years and you tell me. You know what I mean? You got to start thinking about these things. They matter, man. So that's, I'll add that. But this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, winners and champions, you are obviously the product with a new module added to it. It's called now Winners and Champions, Inc. That is going to all be in production this week because yesterday I added the API keys and all that. And the good software is in, so it's like one click, bang, you go through PayPal, it's done. Obviously, too, the contribute page has been all changed. Prosperity consciousness is what we're about. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, contrary to what people think, I don't care who you are, there are no free rides in life. You help people out. And I believe that we have helped and we still keep helping. But you know what? If you can help us out, that's what giving and receiving is all about. And when you do things like that, that will enhance your life. But you'll get to read this and make your own decisions on what you want to do. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out and just look at all the podcasts Gareth and I have done. His show with myself will be up tomorrow. Tomorrow I have a day off. I might do one of my own, but we've got Travis Dirks, we've got Dr. William Wong, and we've got Dr. William Crawford to finish out the week. Then the following week is even busier. And then, you know, we're going to be getting close to February, and obviously we'll get Gareth on again in February. The main reason is because working in and out, I can't do them every day anymore. And I've had to schedule some on Saturdays and Sundays because we're going to make this work no matter what. And there's only been one person that didn't come to the forefront with it, and he's no longer with us. So, as I said, you got to give and receive. That's the way we work around here totally now. Also, too, we're on Fiorello Barbell, Real Men, Real Strength for our YouTube channel. Also, too, If there's a show you'd like Gareth and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and we thank you all for that. Also, if you would like to get us in your car, AHA directory, that's called AHA. You can get M&M 24/7 in your car. Also, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words will change your life. And we know that for sure. My mom would always say to us, she still does, if you see someone, never be afraid to give them a smile or a hello. That might be all they get that day. And I think Gareth we'll see what he says when we get down near the end of the show about this. I bet you he can attest to that because I see it constantly, man. Look at how many people are just walking with their head down. Or you know what you do? You'll really find out. I go to a grocery store once a week for my mom and shop. When you see people, just say to them, good morning. Half of them might mumble. The other ones will look at you like you've got a gun to their head, and some will forcefully say good morning to you. That's what it's become out there. So, do it. Try it out. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoose of Steel Stone Crusher says, in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. All I can say to you guys, make your balls get bigger. As Dr. Wong said to me last week, we were talking about some stuff. He's like, God, Eric, your balls are going to be hitting the ground. They're so big. It's not a metaphor either. It's the truth, you know, because you don't know how many things health-wise are connected to testosterone. And we're going to get into this more and more and more. I don't care if you get sick of it. You need to keep hearing it and reinforcing it. As my great teacher Frank Klein says, who will be coming up momentarily, repetition, repetition, repetition. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Always, 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 always. Avalanches of it rolling down the mountain. It looks like lava out of an explosion from Mount St. Helens, man. That's how big it is. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor, who we lost 3 years ago to cancer. He would walk every patient to the door and say, keep smiling. And I know we're getting near end, but I want Gareth to hear this because this is the power of people in the universe, whether they're with you or not. I go to that big local supermarket for my mom every Thursday, and I you meet people and you see them and you're always hello and shooting the shit with them. And there's this one gentleman in produce who's always really nice guy. His name's Bob, older guy. You know, he talks about like 60s music while I'm talking about like Pantera smashing through your skull. But we get it. We have a great friendship like that. So one day I'm walking around the corner and I had a murderous week. I mean, Thursday too. So I'm walking around the corner and, you know, people ask how you're doing. People don't want to hear this, that, and the other thing, you know. And he says to me, how you doing today, young fella? And I was like, good. I mean, I say good. And he goes, really? I was like, yeah. He says to me, keep smiling. Just like that thing I got the other day about that gentleman who's very ill. It stopped me right in my tracks, and I'm saying to myself, John Ridge. So I get home, and I was telling some people, and one person says, well, he probably went to him. I said, I never saw him there. I went to John for probably 13 years before he passed. So the next time I went, there was Bob. I walked up to him and said, Bob, did you ever go to a chiropractor named John Ridge? So I've never heard of him. John Ridge, was the only one in my life to that day when Bob said it that ever said, keep smiling to me. Don't tell me John Ridge isn't still around me, because he is. You'll never, ever tell me that isn't John Ridge talking through Bob. I'm telling you, I was stunned, and it changed my life that for weeks, for weeks. So, John, I know you're there like everybody. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to kick your door and we'll blow the roof off your house. Be part of the family for the next 30 years. We need you and you need us. And as Les Brown says, you'll have greatness in you. We'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and I don't know who. Thanks for being on. It's always an honor, and we'll get you scheduled for next month, my friend.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it, Eric.
You are welcome. So, for Gareth Denyer, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you soon. The show will be up tomorrow. But remember this, the world is expecting something from you. Deliver, and always, always go berserker. Do the best you can, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.